This is Pastor Brad Bristow welcoming you to the Cornerstone Church Airdrie Audio Podcast. Thank you so much for joining with us today. Each week, we aim to have the recorded audio from our sermons uploaded to our podcast. Along with these sermons, we'll also, from time to time, have other audio content, things like a prophetic word from a service, a midweek teaching, or something else like an interview or some other content. If you're new to Cornerstone Church, you can connect with us on social media. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CSAirdrie on Twitter and at cornerstoneairdrie on Instagram. Also, make sure to subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Just hit the subscribe button on iTunes or follow the prompts on our website. And you can visit us on our website to find out more about who we are and about all of the things that are happening at Cornerstone Airdrie by going to www.cornerstone44church.com. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be speaking to you. God bless you as you listen. Last week, we began to talk, or began looking at church council and church culture, and what God has for us here at Cornerstone Airdrie. We talked about how we need each other in our lives, and we need to be connected to each other. We talked about how we needed to live life together, and when we needed to live life together, that didn't just mean a Bible study, but it meant to really, truly live life together because we are a family. And we talked about as family we go, as we go through life, as we go through things, we will do them together as a family. But embracing this idea of family, of Cornerstone Airdrie becoming like a family, identifying ourselves as a family, is really important. And the reason that it's important is because when we as a people decide that we're part of something, when we really become a part of that thing, instinctually and in our nature, when people take an ingrained affiliation with something and it becomes a part of who they are, it becomes, it matters so deeply to them. Even when it's something as trivial as like a sports team. But when you go to games, you can see people get into fist fights because they support different teams. You can see people have relationship breakdown because they support different sports teams. And I love sports with so much of who I am, but it's just sports. And yet, because people identify with, I am a Calgary Stampeders fan, and you are a Saskatchewan Rough Rider fan, and because of that, they begin to fight each other. When we become deeply affiliated with something, it really matters to us. And this concept is probably best seen and understood in the dynamic of a family. You didn't do anything to be born into the family you were born into. You didn't get to pick your brothers and sisters. You didn't get to pick your mom and dad. But other than probably a few years when you were a teenager, when you were like, I don't like any of you, you become pretty fiercely loyal and fiercely protective of your family. You could pick on and tease your family, but nobody else can do that. That I could pick on my brothers and tease my little brothers, but as their big brother, nobody else is allowed to do that. I will stand up for them and I'll protect them and I will make sure that they're okay because you become and you protect your family. The big difference that occurs in our lives with family, with sports teams, with whatever it may be, is when you take ownership of something. When that thing becomes yours and suddenly it deeply, deeply matters to you in a very real way. Your family, your sports team, your hobbies, whatever it may be, when you take ownership of things, things change. My parents often laugh at how I can be found wandering through our house shutting off lights. That whenever there's a light on in our house and no one's in that room, my dad's senses begin to tingle and I have a ingrained compulsion to get in there and turn that light off, even if somebody's coming right back. There's nobody in there now. That light needs to be off. I did that to Yvonne this morning. She turned the light on in the bathroom, and then one of the kids needed her help. Well, she left the bathroom while I was right in there to turn that light off, even though she was coming right back. And they laugh because as a teenager, who cares? Doesn't matter if the lights are on. How much can an electrical bill be, really? It doesn't matter. Don't tell me to turn off the lights. It's fine. Ownership. I've got ownership of my family, of my house, of my electrical bill. Suddenly, those lights got to be off. We don't need the lights on if there's nobody in the room. When we take ownership in something, owners, they build the house. They invest in the house. We invest in the future, and we do our best to make it better. When we've got ownership in something, you can see the difference between the way that you treat a rental car and a car you own. You invest in this thing to make it better and make it last for as long as you can. And as we embrace the idea that we're a family, as we instinctually take more and more ownership of this family and of each other, then we build and we invest. And we do our best to make it better because that's what owners do. That's what family does for each other. That's what families do. And so today, I want to talk to you, to us, about how we can take ownership of this place. Take ownership of each other and take ownership of this family. When Jesus was here, he would often share statements about his mission, about why he had come to earth, what his mission looks like, what his ministry here to us would look like. And that's important for us because when we see what Jesus came to do and how Jesus came to do it, we can look at that and say, that is a sign, that is a picture for us of what our lives need to be about. When Jesus would say something like, he came to seek and save the lost. We look at that and we say, aha, if Jesus came to seek and save the lost, then I know what my purpose is to seek and save the lost. That's what we need to be about. What Jesus came to be about is what our lives as Christians need to be about. Our anchor text for today is found in Matthew chapter 20, verses 28. And Jesus would say this about his mission and his purpose here on earth. He would say, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus came to serve others, not to be served by them. His life was about others. It wasn't about himself. And I think one of the great tragedies of modern day Christianity is that we've almost completely inverted this sentiment or attitude when it comes to ourself and our church. We've almost taken this phrase where Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. And we've taken that and we've almost completely inverted it, where we would say about our church, I didn't come here to serve. I didn't come here to do stuff. I need to know what the church can do for me. What are the ministries? What are the programs? What are the things that the church offers me? And we can fall into the trap of looking for a church that meets all of our needs. That we look and we say, well, this church can offer me everything that I could want. Now, this can certainly sound like the pastor of a smaller church railing against big churches and all of the slackers that go to them. And saying, well, that if those people really followed what God had for their lives, they would be coming to my church, not to that big church down the street. This would be a big church. If everybody listened to what God had for them, they would come here and we would have a big church. But then it would be them, somebody else saying that about. But the problem is not big churches or small churches. The problem isn't us versus them. When it comes to other churches, we're all playing for the same team. Whether we're big or whether we're small, we're all playing on the same team. So I rejoice when another church grows. I rejoice when other churches are bigger than our church. I rejoice as we see people come into the kingdom. I rejoice because of that, because we're all competing for the same thing. We're all on the same team. Is whether or not somebody comes here or somebody goes to another church, we're all going to heaven. But there is a mindset that can be pervasive when it comes to people and to church. And that mindset occurs when we begin to think, when we begin to understand that coming to church, being a part of a church, being part of a community, is all about me. Yvonne and I like to go out to fancy restaurants. It's one of the things that we do. With three little kids, we don't get out too often. And so when we do get out, we like to make it worth every penny. And sometimes there's a lot of pennies that go into making every penny worth every penny. But we like to go to those frou-frou fancy restaurants where there's all kinds of French words on the menu, and we got to look up on our phone to find out what it is that we've even ordered because we don't know what the words mean. And things like that. We like to do that. Every year, I look up Avenue Magazine's 10 best restaurants in Calgary. And we try to work our way year after year, sort of looking for the restaurants that show up again and again and again on that list, and go to as many as we can, but we can only really do it once or twice a year. But we want to work our way and go to fancy restaurants because it's something that we do. But before we decide which restaurant to go to, oftentimes I will pore over the menus before we even go to the restaurant, before we even decided to go there. I'll look up the restaurant online and pore over the menus, analyzing each dish to go through to think, well, would I order that? Would Yvonne order that? And weighing everything, thinking, well, I like seafood, and Yvonne doesn't like seafood. And so if I'm in the mood for seafood, is there something on that at this restaurant that I could have if I wanted seafood? But is there something on this restaurant's menu that Yvonne could have not wanting seafood? And what if I didn't want chicken? What if I, and I, painstakingly, probably stupidly, I spend a lot of time looking at these menus and trying to decide if this would be the right one for us. And for a restaurant, that's not bad. But when we take that same attitude about church, and we pore over the church saying, do they have everything that I could possibly want depending on my mood and depending on when I show up that day? Are they going to have the things that I'm looking for? And we make it all about me and what I need. We're missing out on exactly half of what church is meant to be about. Paul will talk about how the church is like a body, and how each part of that body needs each other part to be a healthy body. The parts of our body are not simply able to just worry about themselves and give no mind to the rest of the body. Paul will write, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Nor again can the head say to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" We don't have the ability to say, "I don't care about other people, I only care about me." If we want to be part of a body, we can't just make it about us, because the body can't function that way. It can be so easy to fall into the trap of only caring about ourselves and how we see things. But it's not just about us and about our needs. Maybe this video will help you to understand.
Oh.
Sometimes we can get so focused on ourselves and what's going on with us that we can neglect other people, that when we have that mindset, we can miss what other people are going through, that we miss out on being a part of this greater thing, that we miss out on having everybody be better because of us rather than just making sure that everything we need is taken care of. You see, there is an aspect of our faith system that is about us, that is about me. Jesus loves me. Jesus died for me. Jesus saved me. Jesus created me. There is an aspect of our faith that is about us. But Scripture will tell us that Jesus created me, Jesus created us for a reason. We are created, saved, and loved for a purpose, so that we can love and worship and honor God. And when we make it all just about me, we're missing out on the entire second half of what a relationship with God is meant to be. We are meant to be saved. God saved me, but God didn't save me just for me. God saved me that my life might be given to Him. And when we make it all about me, we are missing out on that entire second half, and it just isn't satisfying. I've heard so many times from people that have left a church, or in the process of leaving a church, or in the process of discovering a new church, of finding out where they should attend, and about how they feel like they needed to leave because they were just not satisfied. That they weren't growing. They weren't getting what they felt like they needed. That they need to look for some place where they can grow. But I think more often people confuse not getting what they need with not giving what they need to give. I think more often we think, I'm not getting what I need to be satisfied. But the reality is, in order to find satisfaction, in order to find fulfillment, it's not about me getting what I need, it's about me giving what I need. I referenced this verse earlier, and I want to read it again, or to read it for you. Ephesians 2, chapter 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The word workmanship here has more of a connotation than just something made, but it's something amazing that He made. Other places in Scripture and other translations will translate that the word that's used here for workmanship as the word masterpiece. You, I, we are God's masterpiece, created by God, in God, for what? For good works, for things to do, for things to give. We were created by God to do things, to give things. And I think that we often get this heart and this message confused, that we feel unsatisfied, that we can feel unfulfilled in something or by something. And our instinctual response to feeling unfulfilled, to feeling like we're not getting everything we need, is to assume that I must not be getting what I need. But I think more often than not, it's not that we're not getting what we need, it's that we're not giving what we need. It's not in the getting that we find fulfillment. It's not in what I get that I feel fulfilled, it's in the giving. That's why a wise man once said, it's better to give than to receive. That wise man was, of course, Jesus. Well, it was Paul who was quoting Jesus, nonetheless. It's better to give than to receive, because in the giving we find fulfillment. In the receiving we receive somebody else's fulfillment, but we don't find fulfillment in receiving. We don't find fulfillment in getting, we find fulfillment in giving. And there's so much truth in this. In every relationship, the best relationships, the best marriages, the best parents, the best friends, the best church family, we may always want to be the one that receives. But the best, the very best of those are the ones where the individuals are looking to give more than they receive. Want to have a better marriage? Give more to your spouse. Want to have better friendships? Give out more than you're getting back in. Want to feel more connected to your church? Give more of yourself to your church. And this is one of the reasons why I love this church. This is one of the reasons why I love my church, my family so much, is that I see so many people living this out all around us. Every week, we have a church service. Every week, we have people who come and serve here, and other than a couple exceptions, Matt and I, everybody who serves here out of a volunteer heart, out of a love for their church. Matt and I do that, but we also get paid. Every single person who comes and serves here, our Sunday school teachers who teach all of these rowdy, noisy kids, they teach them every week. Our nursery workers who lovingly care for our littlest ones for the entire service do that every week. Our worship team comes and they're here by 9 o'clock in the morning and they're here on Thursday nights practicing. They do that every week. Our welcome team, our ushers and greeters are here to welcome and make sure everything is just the way it needs to be before, during, and after the service. And they do that every week. Our tech team, the sound and computer people, are here doing the best they can to make our service run as seamlessly as they can. And they do that every week. The amazing, generous servants come out week after week after week and serve here. And without these incredible brothers and sisters in the Lord who have taken such ownership of our church, it wouldn't happen. And this is one of the things I love so much about Cornerstone Airdrie, is that we are passing the canteen around. That when we have a canteen full of water, we're looking and seeing our brothers and sisters who need help, and we're saying, I can contribute to this. I have a heart that says, I can help you. I can contribute here. Take my canteen. I'm willing to pitch in. I'm willing to help. We're working hard and we're caring for each other and we're serving God and serving the church, passing the canteen and helping each other. But here's one of the great things about being a part of a family like this, a part of a body like this. There's always room for you. In fact, God created a U-shaped hole inside our church. When God called you to Cornerstone, when God calls you wherever He calls you, there is a hole in that place that only you can fill. Other people may try and cram themselves into your hole, but they can't do it right. They can't fit exactly the way that you fit. We have a lot of people serving here at Cornerstone, and for that we are so grateful. But there is, and I mean this, always room for more. There is a U-shaped hole, and no matter how much other people may try, they cannot fill your hole. That's why I know that there's room for you here. Because there are jobs here that only you can do. You may not realize that yet, or maybe you don't know what they are yet, but Scripture will tell us that God created us for work in His kingdom. Now, there can be so many obstacles involved in church. Expertise and need are probably the two biggest. People may say time, but I don't know that that's always true. I think if you believe you are needed and you're able to do it, you will discover that you in fact have time. That when things are a high enough priority, we have time for them. And I think if we can begin to understand that we are needed and that we are able, suddenly we discover that maybe I can be more involved. Now, we've talked about how there are holes here that only you can fill and how we need you to fill those holes. And we talked about how fulfillment is really found in giving, not in getting. So then you also really need us, so that you can fill your holes and find fulfillment. That we need each other because we need you to serve, but you also need to serve. in order to find the most you can out of church, you need to serve. And so we need you, and you need us. And hopefully in that, you can begin to sense how you are needed and wanted. How you can understand that we need you. It's not a question of, oh, well, we need someone. No, we need you. But when it comes to expertise, it's always easy for the pastor, for somebody to say, oh, no experience required, or to say something that sounds deeply spiritual. Like, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. But sometimes it's really hard to believe that about ourselves. That when we say, well, you don't need any expertise, to say, but you don't understand the level of no expertise that I have. That you may not be prepared for how unexpert I am in that. But I want to show you what I mean this morning. Barb, when you began doing slides in church on Sunday, how much did you know about doing slides in church? She knew how to turn the computer on. Justine, when you started doing sound in church, how much did you know about running a soundboard? Absolutely nothing. What they had was a heart that said, I'll serve, and not much else. It's not about what you are already able to contribute. It's about what your heart says, I can help with that. When we said, we need people to run the computer, Barb said, I don't know how to do that, but I've got two hands. I can help. Justine, when we said we don't have any sound people, said, I don't know how to do it, but if you need someone, I could probably learn. That when it comes to being involved, those are just two examples of people who happen to be serving right now, this very Sunday, and doing a tremendous job of it in ministries and in ways that they were unqualified for when they started. But they do great jobs now. But we need people who are willing to step up and step out, perhaps into roles that they're not quite sure that they can do. As we've moved to being so tight, from being so tightly connected to our Calgary church, one of the things that we've lost in that is a bunch of ministry leaders and coordinators. Jacqueline Breichreitz was our women's ministry coordinator. Now she's the women's ministry coordinator in Calgary. Pastor Chris was our kids' ministry pastor. Now she's the kids' ministry pastor in Calgary. I was the men's ministry coordinator, and I'm still here, but I need to get used to this other hat that I'm wearing and not necessarily be dividing time with that. We need people to step into those roles. But maybe coordinating a ministry is perhaps a bridge just too far. Slow down, Brad. That's not... I get where you were going, but you've gone a little too far. Maybe just being involved is where you'd like to be. We just spoke to Barb and Justine about what they knew about their respective ministries before joining. And we need more people to do both of those things. We need more people to do the computer. We need more people to do sound. And if you know how to turn a computer on, you're as qualified as Barb. If you know nothing about doing sound, you're as qualified as Justine. We don't need expertise. We need people. We're looking for people to sing and play on the worship team. Now, this one you may need a little bit of expertise. I'm perfectly willing to sing on the worship team. You're not perfectly willing to listen to me sing on the worship team. And if you are, you haven't been anywhere near me on a Sunday during worship. We're looking for people to help with our welcome team. Our Sunday school program, Praise God, is growing. Is we are having more kids coming to church. I'm sure you can tell that we're having more kids coming to church by the noise that comes from upstairs. And it's wonderful. But we need more teachers to help support that growth. We need people to help with coffee and the snacks in the cafe before the service. We need things that we're not even aware of that we need right now. That you may say, I don't want to do any of those things. But here's something I think I'd like to do. Could I Wash your car every day. Just as an example. You don't have to do that, but if it was on your heart, yes, you can come and wash my car every day. That whatever it is we have, there is a U-shaped hole in our body, and we need people to come alongside and fill those holes. God created us to do good works. Jesus modeled for us that we're not here to be served, but to serve. We see in Scripture that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Friends, we come to church. We are part of a church because, as we talked about last week, we were created and called into community. But we stay at church. We stay at a church because of the fulfillment that comes from being part of that body. And we can't get that fulfillment. We can't get what we need without giving. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And if we're going to get the most out of church, if we're going to get the most out of this family, we cannot come here to be served. We need to come. Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family, we go. One heart with head, one mind connected, one body unified. Bind us together, now and forever, Jesus be glorified.
Nation ultimately, and our prayer is that God would be the head, he would be the center of his church again, that every wall would be torn down, there would be no more division, no more strife. Amen. Can we believe that tonight? Can we just lift our hands? Father, that's our cry, that you would make us one, that you would unify us through your Spirit, that you be glorified again through your body.